Our lesson this evening is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, walking worthy of our calling by relying on the Holy Spirit in the workplace. Having written extensively in Ephesians 1:1 to 3:21 about the high calling we believers in Christ have in our Lord, clarifying the great extent to which God's grace in Christ has been administered in our behalf, Paul applied that truth to the Christian walk in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 20. In Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, Paul addressed an eighth realm of walking worthy of our calling, that of relating well to the Holy Spirit to live righteously in the workplace. This subject is important right now due to extra pressures the pandemic has put on relationships in the realm of business amid high unemployment, government loans and stipends, etc. So we view this important passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth and for this passage that gives us insight in functioning righteously in the workplace. We ask, Father, for understanding, wisdom, and insight to heed this passage and then to apply it by the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll read the passage and then we'll go through it. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Servants or slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. When Paul directed believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, he followed that admonition with a series of Greek participles directing how that filling was to be displayed in one's conduct. And the last participle of that series in Ephesians 5:21 was submitting, hupotassomenoi, submitting to one another in the reverence to Christ. Well, Paul then applied this practice of submitting to a series of human institutions in Ephesians 5:22 to 6:9, and he focused on the workplace in Ephesians 6 verses 5 through 9. So we then apply his directive for that institution as follows. Now, by the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit, what occurs when one relies by faith on the Holy Spirit, employees must submit to their overseers in the workplace. Now, I know the passage talks about slaves and it talks about masters, but Paul referred to slavery in mentioning masters and slaves, an institution no longer viable in many nations. But there is a similar relationship between overseers and employers in the marketplace. Paul then clarified that the employee's role here is like that of the servant. Employees must obey their overseers in the workplace setting. Now, obviously, the limit is obedience to the point of disobeying God, at which point one must obey God over his overseer. Acts 5:29, the Apostle Peter told the Sanhedrin, we ought to obey God rather than men. So if your overseer at the job wants you to do something that is illegal and that is in violation of the law of the land, you can't do that because the Bible says obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So you can't do that. If you run into a situation where your overseer is directing you to do something that is unbiblical or violates the word of God, then it's time to look for a job change of some sort, whether you get shifted to another department or look into another area or another line of work. We don't know. But anyway, employees must obey their overseers in the workplace setting. Now, one's obedience to his overseer should be done in an attitude of fear and trembling. Fear and trembling implies true respect. We should never work for an employer or an overseer or business owner with disrespecting. I've heard of too many situations where this has occurred, and there's sort of an undertone of rebellion in the group in the shop against the owner or against the overseer, and that does nobody any good. We need to show genuine respect in that place. Now, we may not respect the character of the person. Okay, often when we're working for unsaved employers, the character may be bad. You know, maybe they're unfaithful to their partner in life, or maybe they're into alcohol and so forth. But on the job, because of the role of that person on the job, God holds us accountable to really respect him in that role. So one should work with a sincere attitude of respect as obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's interesting, Paul says, in singleness of your heart is unto Christ. Very important. We are actually serving Jesus Christ. Put negatively, employees should not do well only if the overseer is watching as if he were pleasing mere men, but work as a slave of Christ, doing God's will from the heart. Now, this implies that Christ is our ultimate overseer, even in the workplace. And I can't emphasize this enough. He is. We are there on loan from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're earning a living, but we are working ultimately for him. Because in our work, we are supposed to be a testimony in how we're doing that work. So, this dedication of working for one's overseer as unto his ultimate overseer, the Lord Jesus, is based on an awareness that Christ himself will reimburse the employee for his workmanship. You see in verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he's bond, whether he's a slave, or whether he's a free man. This goes along with, I've often quoted, I think it's out of Psalm 61, where God, power belongs to God, the Bible says, and God recompenses a man according to his work. Christ is watching over, even if we have a job in the secular realm, he's watching over what's going on, and he will see to it if we are doing what we should, if we are giving an honest day's work to our employer, he will see to it that we receive remuneration for that. Now, it could come in a raise, or it could come in suddenly being able to get groceries at half price, or get your car repaired at a discount, or you get a break on some object that you're trying to buy. God has ways of making your buying power be extended, and he will reward. So we need to keep in mind we're actually serving the Lord Jesus himself. Now, by means of the filling or the control by the Holy Spirit, what occurs when one relies on the indwelling Holy Spirit, overseers in the workplace are to treat their employees well in accountability to Christ. Now, overseers are not to submit to their employees. I know this entire section we've built upon the participle submitting back in Ephesians 5:29. 21, but we're not, the overseers are not to submit to their employees, but we still infer from the extended context where Paul is discussing submitting in various institutions that overseers are also to achieve the dictates of God regarding their roles in the workplace, oversight by means of the filling or control of the Spirit. Husbands who were over wives back in Ephesians 5:22-33, they were supposed to rely upon the Holy Spirit to function properly as husbands. Parents over their children, relying on the Holy Spirit, once again, to function properly. So once again, here the overseers or the employers. Now, in addressing workplace overseers in verse 8b, Paul mentioned that overseers, like their employees, will be reimbursed by Christ based upon their workmanship in their oversight roles. It's interesting that Christ is looking over the shoulder of the employer, over the shoulder of the business owner, of the overseer, or in the workplace. He's looking over the shoulder, especially if he's a Christian, and he will reward that overseer proportionate to how he treats the people who are under him. Very, very important. So, overseers in the workplace similarly are to treat their employees with respect, the same respect that the overseer should get from the employee or the subordinate. is the same respect that the overseer needs to show towards his subordinates. You have to remember, the subordinates are doing a lot of work. You've hired them because you need them. They're helping to make your business go. So you really need to respect them. And if an employee, and if groups of employees recognize that their overseers and the business owners really respect them and really look out for them, they're much more relaxed in the workplace, and they're much more apt to do a good job, because they sense they've got job security and their productivity will go up. So a business owner or an overseer only has himself to help by treating employees properly with respect. Now, this respect involves giving up. The Greek word is anientes, which means to give up. It's a present participle, anestemi. Give up threatening, apele, knowing that the overseer has a supreme overseer over him who's in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him, be it in the employee or with the overseer. Now, in slavery, the threat would come, I'm going to beat you with the rod if you don't do what I want you to do or something. And Paul says, don't threaten that. I mean, if the slave in those days deserved something because he'd stolen, that would be different under the old adage of slavery. But threatening, there are all sorts of ways that an overseer can threaten a subordinate. He can hint at a job loss, or he can hint that he's going to have to lay him off. That's the last thing we should do. We really need to look out for the welfare of the people who are under us, and go the extra mile, bending over backwards as overseers, to be kind and considerate towards people who are working under us, and to be thoughtful of their needs. If they suddenly find out that their wife or their baby girl suddenly has a lethal form of cancer, and they're in shock over this, okay, that's where the employer and the leader has a responsibility to come along and say, all right, do you need a couple of days off? What can I do to help? Does your family need some help here? Do you need some cash forwarded and so forth? That's where we really need to watch out. Don't threaten, but help. So believers in the workplace who are employees must view themselves as accountable to their supreme overseer in heaven for their workmanship, and give true respect to their human overseers as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, by working well for their overseers, knowing that Christ will reward them accordingly. Believers who are overseers must likewise treat their employees with true respect, not threatening them to manipulate them, but to oversee an accountability to their supreme overseer, Christ, who is in heaven, and who similarly will reward them according to their performance as overseers, knowing that Christ shows no favoritism to employee or overseer. The Lord Jesus Christ looks at human beings as human beings. Whether you happen to be an overseer or if you happen to be an employee, either way, you're a human being. You have the same value as the person that you're relating to, whether that person is above you or below you in the job situation. So we need to be very careful and give an accountability to God in the role that we have. So in application, may we all function in the workplace in accountability to the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, I was talking to a woman whose husband owned a business, and the business was conducted in a shop area where they had, and they had tools, and they were working. It was a blue-collar, definitely job. And she said her husband had hired a man to come and work for them, and this man, without any clarification from the overseer, from this lady's husband, who was the owner of the company and the one who had hired him, without any request from them, would persistently show up for work 15 minutes ahead of time, even though he wasn't going to be paid until the time. And it wasn't a union shop. In union shop, you can't do anything unless you punch in, just to cover yourself. But this man would show up 15 minutes ahead of time, and he would go around the shop, and he would see the tools from the day before that were kind of spread out. So he would go and he would organize the tools, get them all cleaned up. And then he would take the shop broom and sweep up the shop because often there was dust or filings that were left on the floor. So he would clean it up so it would be safer. And he would make a point of doing this. And on top of it, this man was always faithful. He was always early. Rarely would it be like 10 minutes early. He's there 15 minutes. And he showed up and he did a decent work. Now, he might not have been the most skilled man, but he was a man who showed up and he was so faithful. Her husband was so impressed by this man that when it came to Christmas time, this man got a huge bonus. Because her husband was trying to convey to this man, I like your work and I want you to stay. I don't want you to have to go somewhere else. Just workmanship. This guy was actually showing up and giving her husband a decent day's work. And he showed conscientious concern for the workplace and for other shop workers there. That's why he was cleaning up the floor so they wouldn't be slipping around and getting accidents and so forth. He viewed the business as something that was almost like he was a part owner, because he knew the welfare of the business also backed up the welfare of his job, his income. And the boss loved that. Another man I worked who was at one time in our church was a self-employed businessman. And he had started his own business. And I went to this man and I said, would you hire a man who came to you and who said, I don't have any of the skills that you have in this shop, but I would love to make a career out of working in this shop. So, could I offer my free time, and I would come, and you wouldn't pay me anything, and maybe I could learn, and you could teach me, and I could start doing some things around the shop. And when you got to the point, as the employer, where you felt that I was actually contributing to the financial welfare and the profit margin of this company, if you wanted to start paying me a little bit at a time, and then eventually, hopefully, work me into a full-time job, would you be willing for me to show up at the shop and offer my services this way so I could work myself into the company? I asked this man, what would you think of a man like that? This businessman turned to me and said, oh, that would be a dream employee. If I could get an employee who was that motivated, who understood the bottom line, that I needed him to be productive before I could pay him and pay him in accordance with it, he said, I would train him. In fact, he said, in our business, we have a job known as carpet welding. And it's such an important job. I have only one carpet welder. He can carpet weld better than me. I pay him $150,000 a year. He said, I could take someone like this who is teachable. I want to make another carpet welder, because what happens when my carpet welder is sick? The business slows down. So if I could get an employee to come along that motivated, I would start teaching him very early how to carpet weld, and I'd want him to practice, and I'd want to see what his workmanship was like on a consistent basis, and then I would hire him for the same amount of money. I tell you, employees can do a lot, and employers can do a lot to improve the situation in the workplace, even improve their own income, if they just show a high level of motivation and dedication as though they're serving the Lord.